John Hansen here on Chicago's Afternoon News, 418 on this gorgeous July the 5th. Since it is the 5th of July, you know, we did a lot of concentrating on the Declaration of Independence yesterday. Maybe you freshened up on some of that history, but it's the 5th, and that got me thinking, well, what do you talk about today? And I had I'm curious about what happened to some of these signers of the Declaration of Independence after they signed it. Of course, we know of many that became presidents, but there's so many names that we have no idea anything about them. And then I remembered a book I read many years ago called Signing Their Lives Away, The Fame and Misfortune of the Men Who Signed the Declaration of Independence. It's written by best-selling author Denise Kiernan, who also wrote The Girls of Atomic City, which I love, and The Last Castle. She got a new book out too called We Gather Together. But Denise, thanks for taking the call and joining us to talk about a book you wrote 12 years ago.
Thank you so much, John. It's so great to be here. And, you know, it's interesting you say, you know, a book I wrote 12 years ago. And what I think that says in essence is these stories don't really ever get old. I mean, we're constantly finding out new information about these folks. We're constantly thinking about new ways to look at our own communal history. And so I'm always happy to talk about the signers, even if the material isn't quite as fresh as it might have been 12 years ago.
Well, you wrote the book with your husband, and I wanted to know, did the idea come from, which is always fun, I imagine, and I know that he's a great author and story too.
Yes, I was going to say, that's a whole other interview, right, with your husband. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But was it a matter of you guys looked at the Declaration of Independence one day, saw all the extra names, and thought, well, who are these people? Or how did you get inspired to write this book?
Okay, you're actually kind of close. Okay, so we're both journalists by trade many years ago, and we're also both history nerds. And one morning, because we're this dorky, we were actually quizzing each other about who could name more signers of the Declaration of Independence. That's the kind of couple we are. So it became very clear very quickly that it was hard to get past the first few seriously famous names. And honestly, if you talk to people, most folks remember, of course, John Hancock and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. Some people remember John Adams if they saw the miniseries. Some don't. Some remember Sam Adams if they're a fan of The Brew. Some don't. But then you look and the 56 people signed this document. You know, 56. And so we just sort of thought, and this has kind of been an inspiration for a lot of the books that I've written in my life, who were these other people so important to American history who just didn't get their stories told? So we just got really curious about all those other people and who they were and what their role was and what they did or did not do and how they were or were not remembered.
I love the format of the book, too, because it's like laid out such in a fun organizational way. There's humor in it. It just was really well told that it stuck with me for all these years. I thought we could do like some rapid fire, like I'll give you a name and kind of the title of the chapters, which is a really good hook into it. And then you could give us like a minute rundown of each signer that I name. Is that cool?
I will do my best, I promise, yes.
All right, well, let's start with Roger Sherman, and the title of his chapter is The Signer Who Signed Everything.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you have started with probably I don't want to say my favorite signer, but one of my favorite signers. So Roger Sherman was from Connecticut, and here was a guy, and this speaks directly to why we wanted to do this book. He was a cobbler, okay? So we often think about, you know, statesmen and rich people. This guy was a cobbler, but he was very active in Connecticut government at the time. And one of the most interesting things about Roger Sherman was that he signed all four founding documents. So we talk a lot about the Declaration of Independence. We also talk about the Constitution. But he also signed the Articles of Association, which was one of the very first documents that representatives from the colonies signed. Then He signed the Declaration of Independence and was also part of the Committee of Five that helped put that language together. Then he signed the Articles of Confederation, which came after the Declaration, but before the Constitution. And then he signed the Constitution and he repaired shoes. I mean, I love these stories, you know? And he, you know, this was a guy who just kind of showed up in life as an involved, engaged citizen. And also with regard to the Constitution, and we did do a follow-up book called Signing Their Rights Away about the signers of the Constitution. You know, he was the architect of what they call the Great Compromise, which gave us the differentiation between representation in the House versus representation in the Senate. So this cobbler from Connecticut was a huge part of American history, and we don't often talk about him. So I'm glad you started with him, actually, because to me, he's one of the most kind of representative individuals of why we were inspired to write this book.
That's awesome. Roger Sherman, in case anyone missed his name, you want to do a little deep digging. Let's go to one of my favorite names, probably my favorite name on its own, who signed the Declaration of Independence, Button Gwinnett, the signer with the $700,000 autograph. Who's Button?
Oh, Button Gwinnett. So Button Gwinnett, you know, there's a lot of talk about the fates of the signers after they signed. And Button is one of those folks. It's from Georgia. And if you've ever been to Georgia, you've probably gone through Gwinnett County. And there are many Gwinnett schools and all of those sorts of things. Button Gwinnett was one of those guys who died very shortly after signing the Declaration of Independence. But not because he signed, but because he picked a fight with a very well-trained military person and ended up in a duel and lost his life. Now, because of that, Button Gwinnett, who most people are completely unfamiliar with, his autograph is considered one of the rarest, most valuable autographs of all the founding fathers or founding individuals, because he just didn't live long enough to sign that many things. So when a Button, as rare as a Button Gwinnett, actually was a saying for a little while.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's interesting how, you know, your life shortens and your autograph, you know, goes up in value.
Well, let's talk about
trade-off. But yeah. That's Button, yeah.
Let's talk about someone that lived a long time, Charles Carroll.
Oh, Charles Carroll of Carrollton, Maryland. Yes. So, you know, Charles Carroll was just such a huge part of American history, and not only just a signer of the Declaration of Independence, but just, you know, a real figure in his state of Maryland. And what always kind of cracks me up is that so Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on the same day, July 4th, 1826. And it is rumored that, you know, John Adams said, you know, Jefferson on his deathbed, you know, Jefferson survived, and they died on the same day. What he really should have said was Charles Carroll of Carrollton survived, because he lived on for like another 6 years.
Wow.
And lived to see, I believe he was 95, and I believe he lived to see the spike driven into the Transcontinental Railroad when they connected the East and the West.
That's really cool.
I mean, these were folks who saw so many aspects of the evolution of the United States.
All right, Denise, we have like 1 minute left. Can you pick one last one, your last one, favorite one that I haven't mentioned yet?
Oh, my God. Oh, of course you're saying that. Francis Hopkinson, I think, is really interesting. He actually is, he's the only person we have proof that he designed the American flag. So he actually put a bill through to Congress for designing the American flag. However, his design incorporated a six-pointed star. They took this design to Betsy Ross. She said, yeah, it's much easier for me to cut a five-pointed star. But Hopkinson billed Congress for the design of the flag and asked for a cask of the public ale. And it's one of the only, in the archives of the Library of Congress, one of the only bits of proof that somebody designed the flag. And he wrote operas and he drew, and he was just sort of this kind of Renaissance man who did all sort of wrote poems. So he was a really, really interesting guy, and he was a lawyer.
Oh.
So Francis Hopkinson, I think, is just super, super fascinating.
That's great.
And also helped design the Great Seal of the United States.
That's really cool. That's how they pay me here at WGN, too. I get paid with a jug of whiskey after every shift that I do. Denise, I wish we could talk for
whatever you can get.
Yes. I wish we could talk more. She's got a new book out, We Gather Together. You can find it wherever books are sold. Denise, please, let's chat again soon, okay? And we can talk about that book, too, okay?
I would love that.
Take care, all right?
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, best-selling author, just a wonderful person, great author, Denise Kiernan. Thanks so much for her time.